Hallelujah. God is good, and His Word is true. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, why don't you open your Bibles up to Ezekiel, chapter 36. Ezekiel, chapter 36. I want to talk a little bit today about the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Or you could call it the twofold promise of God. Amen. And I want to start with Ezekiel 36, chapter 23. Ezekiel 36, chapter 23. Is everybody there? He said, "And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst, and the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes." The prophet Ezekiel is prophesying of things to come here. And the Lord is saying that when He has been hallowed in us, then the world will know and understand that He is the Lord. Ezekiel 36, verse 24. "For I will take you from among the nations and gather you out of all countries and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all of your filthiness and from all your idols." A prophecy of the coming Messiah. Ezekiel's prophesying what Jesus is going to do when He's come. Amen. That He's going to cleanse us of all of our uncleanliness, of all our filthiness, of all the idols that we have. And He's going to reveal Himself to us. Amen. You know, it's interesting. God revealed Himself basically in two really big dispensations. He revealed Himself to men in the old dispensation, in the Old Testament, in a manner of the time of promise and preparation. He tells us what is to come and how we're to prepare for it. And then in the New Testament, He reveals Himself in that He's the fulfillment of that promise, and we're to possess those promises. In those two dispensations, we see a twofold working of God's Spirit. In the Old Testament, God moved with His Spirit upon men, worked into them, and inward through them. He caused them to do things, to prophesy, to speak His words, to tell of things to come. But He worked from the outside in. In the New Testament, God's put His Spirit inside of us. And He causes men to do things by the leading of the Spirit. From the indwelling of the Spirit, He works from the inside out and upward now. Amen? In the former, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God was signified as a mighty, holy one. You couldn't be in His presence. You couldn't be around Him. While now in the New Testament, we have the Spirit of the Father, of Jesus Christ, which is really the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, who wants to dwell inside of man. He wants to make man His holy temple. He wants man to receive Him and let Him live in him. Amen. And here in Ezekiel, let's go on. Verse 26. "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you." He's prophesying of our receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. Of us receiving Jesus and Jesus giving us a new heart. That's the spirit of man He's talking about there. The heart. Amen? He will give us a new heart, which is a new spirit. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. In other words, when you're out there in the world, you're hard, you're fast, you don't understand things, you don't love, you don't know how to love, you can't express God's love. And he has to get rid of that old, cold, stone heart you've got and give you a heart of flesh. One that has compassion. One that he can work with. One that he can put his love in so that you can let it out to others. Amen? I will give you a heart of flesh. But he doesn't stop there. Then he goes on. He says, but I will put my spirit within you. Now we're talking about a second spirit now. This is a twofold promise. The first promise was a new heart and a new spirit. The second promise is, I will put my spirit in you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and you will do them. He wants to put his spirit into man now. He wants the spirit of God to dwell in us, to lead and guide us. And he said, but this is a twofold promise. Here in Ezekiel, it's a twofold promise from God. First, he'll give mankind a new heart and a new spirit. And then he gives you the promise of a forthcoming Savior and the new birth for all believers. That's what that signifies. Amen? I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to give you a new spirit. I'm going to make you a new person, if you will. He's talking basically the man now. And then he says, secondly, I want to put my spirit in you now. I want to indwell you. I want you to become the temple of the living God. And that's available to all believers. It's a twofold promise. So that we can know and have revelation of the divine blessings he's promised us elsewhere in his word. Because his word is full of promises. He's bestowed those upon all those who will believe on him and receive his son. Amen. And we know that he's already given every child his spirit. And yet many never experience anything beyond the first promise in Ezekiel. That's all they ever experience, is being born again. They only have half of the promise that Ezekiel prophesied. They may have the new spirit given through regeneration and through receiving Christ as Lord, and yet know little of God's Spirit and his person indwelling in them. Oh, they'll tell you, oh, I have the Spirit. I'm full. No, you have half the promise. You didn't get the other half yet. If you did, it would show. Man, notice it's a twofold operation requiring completion of the first part of the promise before the second can take place. Men, although many receive both at the same time. And we see plenty of examples of that throughout the Word. But it's simultaneous then. God has to give you a new heart and a new spirit before you can be worthy of being the temple for his spirit. Amen. Man must first be born again, receive a new heart, a new spirit, so that he can be suitable to receive the Holy Spirit in his temple. Amen? In order to become the temple of God, you have to be cleansed of all unrighteousness. That's why in the garden, when Adam and Eve sinned, they could not remain in God's presence any longer, because they now became like that heart of stone. You know, they were exposed. Sin took over. And until they could be cleansed, they couldn't be in his presence, so they had to hide from him. Amen? God must have your body before he can put his spirit in you. Now, that may sound like it's kind of strange. God needs my body. Well, it's true. Because until he cleanses your body of sin, until he puts a new spirit in you, you cannot stand in his presence. You cannot have his Holy Spirit. When the believer accepts God's promise that there's something better and even than even... I've got to get this out. Help me, Lord. When the new believer understands that there is something better than just the new birth, when their faith rises to the point where they can get hold of the fact that God wants more. He wants to put Himself into you as the Holy Spirit indwelling you. They need faith. That Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. And that's what I want to talk about today. The Spirit of life. It opens up a whole new prospect of holiness and blessings and promises once you understand that there's more than just being born again. Oh, it's great to be born again. I know you're going to heaven, but do you want to live a normal life between now and then and just have a place in heaven? Or do you want to live like you have heaven on earth? That's what the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is going to do for you. He's going to give you the power to live and walk heaven on earth. And God said we should have heaven on earth. Amen? When you understand the distinctive glory of this dispensation of the Spirit, of His life, and how divine His personal indwelling is, you get excited. You get excited. I got to have more. And not just once. All the time. Amen? His divine personal indwelling. He puts Him there to reveal to you the Father and the Son and the work that's to be done. There's a reason He has to put His Spirit in you. You and yourself don't have the power to do the work that He's called you to do here on earth. You need His power. You need His grace. You need His mercy. When you understand that, and it's only as Christians understand and get revelation knowledge of that fact, and remember this, that they will be able to claim all the full blessings prepared for them. You know, the Bible says that I'm a son of God, that I'm an heir. That means that everything God has given to Christ is also mine. All I have to do is possess it. You know, it's when someone comes and gives you a gift and they hold it out. It's not yours until you what? Until you take it. And that's what we have to do. We have to take what is ours. You know? And the Bible says that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free of the law of sin and death. Well, the law of sin and death came into play when Adam and Eve allowed themselves to be tempted by some outside influence rather than doing the only single commandment that God gave them. He said, do not eat of the one tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And along comes this outside influence and convinces them that God is lying to them, that they won't surely die when they eat from this tree. Now, I don't know about you, but if God told me not to do something, I'm surely not going to listen to some other outside influence. Now, that outside influence was the devil. We know that. Amen? We know that him and his fallen angels were already here on earth. But when they did that, they introduced to all of mankind the law of sin and death. In other words, if you sin, you're going to die. And now because they have fallen, the sin nature is in mankind. The Adam and Eve weren't single individuals. They are representative of all of mankind. That's why there's a first Adam, and God talks about a second Adam. We're supposed to live according to the second Adam, not the first. Amen. So what is this law of the Spirit of life? And where do we find it? You can only find it one place, people. It's in Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life is in Jesus. In our fellowship with Him, in our fellowship with His Holy Spirit, in our receiving of the indwelling of the person of the Holy Spirit, we receive the law of the Spirit of life into our bodies. Amen. John chapter 15. Hallelujah. Glory to God. John chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. This is Jesus talking to us. And I know it doesn't say anything about life there. But a vine is life. Something that's alive, a plant. Without him, we don't have life. Without him, he said, we can do nothing. I can do nothing of myself. Let me just add to that. Amen. But I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me, lives in me, has his dwelling place in me, and I in you. He bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. He is cast out and dries up and blows away. Actually, they say that he says later they're cast into the fire and burned. But when something withers, it dries up and blows away. When the leaves fall off the tree in the fall, they dry up and the wind blows them everywhere. Whether you have trees or not, you'll have leaves in your yard, I guarantee you, because the neighbors have trees. Without Jesus, without him abiding in you, you will wither up and you dry up. And you'll blow away, and the devil will have his way with you. I guarantee it. Abiding in Jesus, or you wither and dry up and become lifeless. You are living the self-life when you're not abiding in Jesus. When you're not living in him, you're living for self. And if you're living for self, you don't have his life within you. You don't have his life working. Romans chapter 2, or chapter 8, excuse me, verse 2. Romans chapter 2, 8, verse 2. You know, I've been using this quite often on Sunday mornings when I open the service as a confession, because I'm trying to get it into you that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free of the law of sin and death. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free of the law of sin and death. What is the law? What is a law? I talked about the law of sin and death that Adam and Eve brought upon mankind when they sinned. Well, what is a law? A law is the principles and regulations established by some authority with applicability to its people. A law is any commandment that God gives his people, either verbally or in his word. When he commands something, that's a law. Amen. God has established his laws in his word. Any command given by God is in effect a law. A law means the power or principle or authority over someone or something to cause something to happen. It is a law because it works the same way every time you use it or do it. That's in physics. They have laws. There's the law of gravity. It works the same way every time you use it. I guarantee you, if you go up on the roof of this building and jump off, you will crash. Because gravity will see to it that you do. Amen? If you walk in sin, God's law of sin and death says you will die. If you walk in the Spirit, God's law of spirit and of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus says you will live. their laws. They're put in place for a reason. In civil organizations like the city of Bremerton, laws are in place to keep the peace. Amen? To keep people from doing things they shouldn't. But a law doesn't force it to happen. A law only says that's what you should do. Amen? Let's go down to verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. For to be carnally minded is death. Carnally minded, fleshly, sowing to the things of the flesh, sowing to the world, sowing to the lusts of the flesh. Spending more time in front of the boob tube than you spend with God. Ooh, well, that's why they call it the boob tube. Amen? Let's go on. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Notice when we're spiritually minded, when we're sowing to the things of the Spirit, we reap life. Love, grace, peace, power, joy, all the things of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Why is that? Because He's the Spirit of life. And the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free of all the things of the law of sin and death. Sin shall no longer have dominion over me. For a greater law is now at work in my members. Amen? See, you have to get that mindset. That's how the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus works for you. It doesn't work just because it's there. It works because you work it. Just like I spoke to the couple, the marriage doesn't work itself. You have to work it. The law has to be worked. The spiritual nature is one thing, and a spiritual mind is another thing. Get this now. A spiritual nature is one thing. A spiritual mind is something else. Every believer has a spiritual nature because God gave them a new heart and a new spirit, which is combined as a new nature. But are all Christians spiritually minded? No, they're not. Because to be spiritually minded is different than having a spiritual nature. You have to work it. Go down to verse 10. Romans 8, verse 10. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now get this. It doesn't matter that Jesus is living in me. My body is dead because of sin. Because a law of sin and death says it is. The law of sin says you will die. Just because I'm a Christian doesn't mean that law isn't at work in my body. It is at work in my body. I have to take another law and override the first one. Are you following me? The Spirit is life. I have to take the Spirit of life and I have to work it. Lord, they're not getting it. Help me. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Notice it said if. Not all Christians have the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body as well as your spirit. Amen. That's how working the Spirit of life overcomes the law of sin and death in my mortal body. I have to feed more on the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus than I feed this body on the law of sin and death. And don't fool yourself, just because you're born again, you sin. We all do. I'm included. We're human. Only one person ever walked the face of the earth that never sinned. His name was Jesus Christ. Amen? He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. You have to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in you, the Spirit of life, before He can overcome the law of sin and death. Amen? If Christ dwells within you, though your body be dead because of sin, the law of sin, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus brings life not only to your spirit, but to your mortal body. When you sow to the law of the Spirit of life, more than you sow to the law of sin and death. Over to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 10. I don't hear any more pages. Can't hear your apps, you know. I don't know if you're there with them. Hallelujah. John chapter 4, verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, oh, come on. Now I know this is the story of the woman at the well, but you gotta understand how God uses His word for different things at different times. Okay? We're going to talk about the Spirit of life here. So get this. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked Him and He would have given you the living water. We are talking about life. Everything that's alive on this planet requires water to live. Especially life forms like ourselves and animals. If you don't have water, you don't live. And Jesus is saying to her, you would have asked of me, and I would have given you living water. Why? Where does His living water come from? He's the Spirit of life. Verse 11. The woman said to Him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? She had no clue what He was talking about. She had no clue because she didn't have a born-again heart. She was an unbeliever, and she couldn't receive what the Spirit of God was trying to tell her. So, where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it Himself as well as His sons and life and His livestock? And Jesus just looked at her and answered, whoever drinks of this water, He's talking about the well now, will thirst again. How many of you know you have to drink more than once? Yep. Or you get thirsty? If I only drank once, I wouldn't be 62 years old. I guarantee you, I wouldn't have made it. Okay? Living life forms require water. You must drink. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into what? Everlasting life. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus will bring everlasting life. He is everlasting life. And without Him, there is nothing. You have to live and abide in Him, like He said back there in John. And He has to abide in you. How many of you know that if you abide in Him, He automatically abides in you? He said he'd never leave us or forsake us. But we have to draw nigh to him first. Amen. If we abide in him, that word abide means to dwell, settle down, make my home in. Let's remain forever. Abide. I'm going to stay in Jesus forever. Then he will stay in me forever then. Abiding in Jesus, then the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus produces in you a fountain of everlasting life. Amen? And if you have a fountain producing everlasting life, it's going to flood out something else. What's it going to flood out? The law of sin and death. Amen? Go over to John chapter 7. Oh, I got lots of time. Slow down. John chapter 7, verse 37. That's 6. Verse 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out. Jesus stood and cried out. The giver of living water stood and cried out. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And everybody looks at that like he's trying to give them a drink of water or wine or something. No, it's a drink of life, people.
Amen. Amen.
It's a drink of living life, everlasting life.
Yes, sir.
If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Here we go again. Living water is what? It's life.
That's right.
Without water, you don't live. Creflo Dollar told a story one time about the deacon who was dying. And he kept saying, "Give me a drink." And went on two or three times and they gave him a drink and he didn't drink it. And he died. Why'd he die? Because he didn't drink the water.
Right.
You got to drink the Spirit of life, the living water. Amen. The Spirit of life. You have rivers of living water inside of you if you have the Spirit of the Lord dwelling in you.
Amen.
And, you know, we look at that so many times and we use it as oh, you have rivers of living water so you can prophesy or so you can do this or you can do that. No, 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 no. It's so you can live. That's the most important part. Because if you don't live, you can't do the others. You got to be alive before he can use you. You know, I just realized that a couple days ago. If I wasn't alive, he couldn't use me. The devil tried to take me out a long, long time ago. In many ways. God intervened every time. Even when I wasn't serving him, he intervened. Why? Because he had a plan for my life that I didn't know about. I could have made a choice not to let him intervene. But my spirit must have known what was going on because my spirit allowed God to intervene and keep me safe. Water is life, and all living things require water, especially as carbon forms. Amen? I've been trying to think of something out there that's alive on this earth that doesn't require water, and I really can't think of anything. Everything that's alive requires water and air. Amen? John chapter 1. Oh, you're going to love this one. John chapter 1. Hey, brother, take a little high out. John chapter 1, verse 1. Yes, I'm still talking about the Spirit of life. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What's the Word?
Jesus.
Who's the Word? If you don't know, let's read on. He was in the beginning with God. Verse 3, all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. Well, we better find out who Him is then, hadn't we? Verse 10, He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him, but as many as received Him, to them He gave. Oh, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was with God in the beginning, and nothing, I said nothing, absolutely nothing on this earth was made without the Word, Amen. Without Jesus. Amen. He is the life of everything that exists on this planet that we know of. Because He is the Spirit of life. Amen. Let's go back. Verse 3. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. Verse 4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus is life. He is your life. He is the Spirit of life. And if you do not have the Spirit of life, you do not have life. You're the walking dead. What do they call a walking dead? Zombie. There's a lot of them out there. Some of them even claim to be Christian. I'll go back to where I started. Why? Because they only have received half the promise, the twofold promise in Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27. They've only received the new heart, the new spirit. They have not received God's Spirit. It's a twofold promise. I'll give you a new heart. I'll put in you a new spirit, which is the spirit of man. And then, when you're clean, I will put my spirit in you, the spirit of life. Amen? Acts chapter 2. That's what it's all about. That's not, I don't want you to go there. Acts chapter 2 is what it's all about. He said, I'll send back my spirit. Nothing, absolutely nothing was made on this earth without Jesus and His life to make it happen. He is the Spirit of life, and without Him nothing is possible concerning not only spiritual life, but physical life. Think about it. You and I wouldn't be here today if He hadn't made the earth. If God hadn't took Adam, this pile of mud, and breathed the spirit of life into him. Do you know that He didn't breathe the spirit of life into any other being? Right. Only man. Only man did Jesus breathe the spirit of life into. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 1. You know, I know there's some good prayers here in Ephesians that we pray a lot, but you got to get more out of these than just prayer, people. God writes between the lines sometimes. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you He made alive. Who made you alive?
Jesus.
And you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. The law of sin and death was at work in your body because of the fall in the garden that affected all of mankind. Like it or not, you were in sin. I don't care how goody two shoes you think you are. The Bible says you were dead in trespasses and sins until He made you alive. In which you once walked. And what are you walking in once? The sins and trespasses. In which you once walked according to the course of this world. Gee, that sounds like you're walking just like the world. According to the prince of the power of the air. There's that devil again. As I told you, he got a hold of you back in Genesis chapter 3. You know. He beguiled the woman, and the man, because he was standing there too. They weren't apart. They were together when she did it. He could have told her no. According to the power of the prince of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. He's not talking to any one person in general. He's talking to humanity, to all of humanity here. Yes, he's addressing the church, but it refers to all of humanity. But God, notice, but God, everybody say, but God.
But God.
See, because God loves me. God loves you. God loves the heathens. See, they don't understand that. We got to tell them that. God loves everybody. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Doesn't say just Christians. He's talking about humanity. God loves humanity. Period. God made man to love. God made man so man would love him back. Not everybody does. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Notice it's all in Christ Jesus. I am seated right now at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Okay? It's a great big huge banquet table. And God is at the head of it, and I'm right here. But the only way I'm there is I'm sitting on the lap of Jesus, because that's his spot. But the Bible says, made me sit with Jesus in heavenly places. I got to be on his lap. I love it. He's holding me. He carries me whenever I can't carry myself. Do you understand what it says there? Do you understand? How come you're not happy? How come you're not shouting? You have been made to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Now, that word made doesn't mean that he forces you to do it. Okay? It's a positional truth. You can choose to do it.
Yeah, sure.
Or you can choose to live in law with the law of sin and death in your life.
Yeah.
Me, I choose the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I choose to take the second half of the promise that a lot of people ignore. Amen? Hallelujah. Romans chapter 6. Oh, and you notice there, while you're turning over to Romans, that he gave us exceeding riches, exceeding kindness, exceeding grace. He didn't just say, I give you grace. He said, I give you exceeding, all through Christ Jesus, the Spirit of life. Romans chapter 6. Verse 22. But now, having been set free from sin, sounds like it's past tense to me. Sounds like it's already a done deal. But now, having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God. Wow, that almost sounds like an oxymoron. I've been set free only to become a slave. You know what an oxymoron is, right? Doesn't make sense. Because it's, yeah, anyways. But I've been set free of one thing to become a slave of something else. And I'll be a slave of God any day. Because a slave of God is treated like a child. Because he doesn't hate or abuse anybody or anything. Amen. I'll be a slave of God the rest of my life. Hallelujah. So long as I remain in Christ Jesus. It's a choice. I get to make it. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slave of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. Yeah, here we go. Life again. The spirit of life in Christ Jesus. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The gift of God was His most precious Son, Jesus, who is eternal life. Amen. That's where the life comes from. You don't just get eternal life. You have to accept the Son, who is eternal life. Amen. God knows what He's doing. Amen. He gave up one most precious Son to gain thousands of other sons and daughters. My number is in there someplace. Amen. Jesus was number one. But I have a number somewhere in there. And one day He'll tell me what that number is. Not that it matters. All that matters is that I have a number. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free of the law of sin and death. Two laws. One overriding the other. How does that happen? It sets you free of the law of sin and death. When you united yourself with Jesus, you set yourself free from sin. Not by anything you did other than uniting yourself with Christ. His law is what sets you free. But you chose to accept it by accepting Him. Both are laws. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is a higher law than the law of sin and death. You know why? The law of sin and death really didn't come from God. It came from Satan. When he beguiled Adam and Eve into eating of the fruit, they partook of his way of life. And they got a new nature called a sin nature, which came from Satan. Therefore, his laws now applied to mankind. And that law was the law of sin and death. You will die because you sin. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is a higher law. It's a law from God. You know, just like in the airplane, everybody's flown on an airplane, right? You ever wonder how that hunk of metal gets up in the air? There's a law of gravity that says anything with weight falls. But there's a greater law called aerodynamics that overcomes the law of gravity. And they work together, actually. Without gravity, the plane couldn't land again. So it's just like the law of aerodynamics overrules the law of gravity so that planes can fly. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus overrules the law of sin and death. If you work it. I said if you work it. It's up to you to work it. Amen? It doesn't just happen. I got to say that again. A lot of Christians become a Christian and they think it just happens. No, it doesn't just happen. The Christian life is a work.
Yes, it is.
It's a work in progress.
Yes, it is.
Day after day after day after day. You have to choose what you're going to do every single day. Am I going to walk with Jesus and His Word? Or am I going to do what the world's doing? Especially if you have a job. How many of you that have a job spend even 10 minutes with the Lord before you go to work in the day? Don't raise your hands. I don't want to see. But if you're not spending time with Jesus before you go to work, you're setting yourself up for a fall. He needs to come first so that you have His power to deal with what's coming later. You're going to spend 8 hours at least in the world on the job. You better give him at least a half hour or an hour in the morning before you go to work. I learned the hard way. I had to start doing it. You get up earlier, you spend time with him. Then you can deal with the things of the world. That's taking the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus and putting it to work in my life so that the law of sin and death that I'm going out and dealing with doesn't have power over me. And if you don't do that, you're setting yourself up for a fall. The more you're around other people, the more you set yourself up. Jesus' law is higher and more powerful than any law the devil or Satan could ever throw your way. And you have to know that, you have to understand that, and you have to work that. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is a positional truth. That means this is what God has said is. It does not mean this is where I am. I'll say that again. It's a positional truth. Is God's word has said this is the way it is. It does not mean this is the way I am. It's where I'm striving to be. It's where I need to be. It's where I have to work to get to. God has said, this law will give you life. Okay, I got life. No, I have to work it. If I don't take that law, receive it, and use it in my day-to-day work, I don't have that life. But nevertheless, you have been set free. Whether you know it or not, His word has set you free. Obtaining this positional truth requires that you fully understand what has happened when you made Christ your Lord. I didn't just get a place in heaven when I made Christ my Lord, and I knew that from day one. Because it's too easy to have a place in heaven. All I got to do is say, Lord, I accept you. I've got a place in heaven. It can't be that easy. There's got to be more to it. There's got to be a work. You get nothing in life free except the love of Christ. That's free. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is free. All you have to do is take it. But you have to take it and you have to use it. You know, when you made Christ your Lord, you were born again. You got that new heart and that new spirit that was prophesied in Ezekiel that God promised you. Okay? Remember, though, it was a twofold promise. It was a twofold promise. I'll give you a new heart of flesh, which is a new spirit, and then I will put my spirit in you, and I will make you alive. That old man has now died to all that was in the world. Get that, to all that was in the world, all the sin, all the worldly lusts of the flesh, all the greed, you name it. When you got born again, when God gave you that new heart, that new spirit through Christ, all that stuff died. We've got that verse in our personal working stuff, you know, old things have passed away, all things have become new. Amen. It's scriptural. Your spirit has become alive unto God. This means that you must put forth effort, work, I should have said. Effort is five letters. Work is only four. Still work. Amen? Actually, effort is six letters. Excuse me. I can't count. You need to learn, you need to understand, and you need to meditate on God's word so that you understand how to work the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. In John chapter 8, let's go over there. John chapter 8. John 8, verse 31. John 8, verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, it doesn't say it'll make you alive, but it'll make you free. Amen? Knowing the truth, knowing what God's word has to say about the different things, will make you free. And when you're free of the law of sin and death. You're free unto God to become his slave, to do his bids, to live under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. John chapter 16. The work. How you work the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. John chapter 16, verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it unto you. Here's the work. You receive this Holy Spirit. You let the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of life, work in your body. You let him lead you. You let him guide you. You let him teach you. And when you do that, the law of the Spirit of life takes effect in your body. And you become alive, and you have declared to you everything that was Jesus's. I didn't say that. He did, right here. He said, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that Jesus has from God is mine. The Holy Spirit has already declared it to me. I know what it is. I know how to get it. I know how to use it if I need it. I call on the Holy Ghost. And I say, okay, teach me. Show me. Lead me. Walk with me. Walk me through it. He's a paraclete. He'll do that. But if you don't ask, he won't. You've got to ask. He will do nothing forced upon you. You must learn to let the Spirit of life lead, guide, and teach you in all things. This means that you must be willing and obedient. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19 says, those who are willing and obedient. Note the order of the words. First, you must be willing. Because if you're not willing, there's no way you're going to be obedient. Once you're willing to let the Spirit do his work, then you must be obedient to what he tells you to do, or what he leads you to do, or what he shows you, or where he tries to take you, or when he tells you to go talk to that person and say this, you have to be obedient. Willing, then obedient. Willing and obedient to the law. Yeah. Obedient to the law. God's word is law. Specifically here, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. His Holy Spirit. And he must be the ruling power in our lives. He will not force himself to be the ruling power in our lives. We must be willing and obedient and allow him to be that. And then he will declare unto you what is yours that was Jesus's to give you.
Amen.
Amen. Just like it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, Christ is the power of God. The Spirit of life is the power of God. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He is the Spirit of life. Without life, there can't be any strength, people. Amen? The Spirit of life is a law that we must work. Where's it at? Is it written down someplace? Is it in a book? It's within. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus must be within. You must look inside yourself for fulfillment of that. It's not a life of ordinances and customs and laws. It's a life of yielding to the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. A covenant of life within that's endowed by the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit dwelling, abiding, making His home in your heart, in your spirit. And you being willing and obedient and allowing Him to become the power that operates in your life. You want to walk in divine healing? First, walk in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You want to get a healing when you've gotten sick? First, walk in the Spirit, law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. John G. Lake so understood this principle that you could put bacteria on him and it would die under a microscope. They proved it. Deadly plague. They took it from the lungs of the people that had just died with stuff living, put it on him, put it under the microscope, and he died. The bacteria died, not John. He so understood the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It was so a part of him that anything that was not of Christ, that was evil, could not live on him. I've experienced that one time with mosquitoes in eastern Washington. I had been feeding on the same stuff John C. Lake fed on for years. And we were out praying in the driveway, and everybody else is swatting mosquitoes. They're landing on me and falling off. I not lie. My wife will verify it. They watched them land and fall off. I was so full that night of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I so understood it, not physically, in my spirit, that nothing was going to live on me that didn't belong there. Did I purpose to do it? No. I was just feeding on the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Amen? And that's what you got to do. Amen? Praise God. God is good.